T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
And the 1-2. Line toward right field, caught by Garcia, ball game over. San Diego wins it by a score of 4-0. The Cubs and the Brewers now are tied for the second wild card spot in the National League.
They're definitely playing well, and we're not. We got to eat this thing out tomorrow and get back home where we normally play a lot better. It's just been the road woes all season. We've won the first game of these last two series well, and then it somehow goes away.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's very interesting to me, David, that in the year of reckoning, we are looking at our local sports fanatic, Mr. Dustin Rhodes, Mr. Cubs himself, and he is telling us that he is feeling wrath to the point where he wants change, to the point where he's no longer
it's a frustration. Cubs. It's underachievement. It's got to be, you know, when you look at this Cubs team, $218 million is their payroll. It's the second highest in baseball. You expect more. You expect when they're facing a rookie pitcher on the road against a bad team like the Padres, sure, to get more than three hits in a game that you need to win. You're in a pennant race. The word listless was used in Mark Gonzalez's story in the Tribune this morning, wow, to describe the Cubs. They should not be listless in September.
No.
Not in a game of that magnitude.
Right.
And so you look at, okay, last night it was the offense. You know, when Quintana was pulled, it was the starting pitching, right? And there have been enough examples of with a bullpen letting you down. 26 blown saves for a bullpen that they've invested $65 million in this year.
Wow.
There are all sorts of different things to identify as reasons for being frustrated, but the bottom line is this has been one big pile of frustration this year.
Let me ask you, does the fact that the Cubs have somehow managed to turn their fan base against them, as evidenced by Dustin, is that on them or on him? Does that reflect a very arrogant sort of attitude toward the team that you love, or is it the team underperforming to the point
you're going there, but it's not there?
I'm going right there.
You're going right there.
Mr. You know, the man who once celebrated the World Series of attendance is now bad at his
you
team.
You see this happening. What's happening with the Cubs is not all that unusual, really. You have a team and an organization that has been bad for many years, and they've gone through periods of struggle and losing. They win. They achieve some success. They raise expectations. Those expectations, what happens then is you become sort of a victim of your own success.
Sure.
And because, you know, your fans become prisoners of the moment, and you can't take a step back, and it's probably not appropriate to necessarily to look at it like, okay, you are 17 games away from another playoff spot, from your fifth straight playoff appearance. You could look at it that way. You could, if you wanted to be Mr. Pollyanna and say, all right, here we are, 17 games away. This could be Joe Madden going to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. This is the golden age of Cub baseball. Let's get in, just get in, survive in advance, baby, because we can do some damage in October. There's not that sense, though, because the expectations you're talking dynasty after winning 2016. You saw all these young players that were supposed to be approaching their prime. That didn't happen. So now instead of anticipation, you feel frustration. It's understandable, but it was somewhat inevitable because once the Cubs didn't win, you know, a World Series in the last 2 years, you're like, okay, you feel like you're entitled to
Well, that's the word. I mean, what more of a response could there be from you know, the entitled than if I want my team to not make the playoffs, I want them to lose because I want to go after everyone and get rid of everyone. 312-644-6767. It's vindictive is what it is. Let's get to Jason. He's in Highland Park. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, fellas. Great show. That's the way to put it, I think, entitled. I've been a Cubs fan most of my life, from the late 70s on. And the fact that so many people are crying and talking about blowing up this team and we just, oh, woe is us, the Cubs suck. This is not sucking. This is underperforming? Sure. Going 63-99 in a year is sucking. You know, we went through plenty of that. We're having an off. You know, not everybody's playing up to expectations. Fine. They're still in a hunt for the playoffs. You know, people are talking like we need to trade Baez and Bryant and Rizzo and start all over. And it's like, that just doesn't make sense, you know?
Well, I mean, getting rid of Joe is a very arrogant move to begin with. But,
yes.
But that's, you know, you can argue baseball reasons for everything.
Well, Molly, but I mean, going into the season without giving him a contract beyond this year was arrogant to a degree, because it said that, again, the organization was able to withstand, number one, a future, or to ponder a future without Joe Maddon, and number two, that you had the team that was able to be veteran enough or professional enough to deal with all the inevitable speculation and distractions that you invite when you go into a season without a contract for your manager. That's what the Cubs created.
I agree.
I don't know if the noise has been a problem. I'd be curious to see what Theo thinks about this. I don't know that we'll get the full answer necessarily, but you created a situation that every day was speculative with the Cubs this season, because Joe Maddon's future was a topic every time you heard him talk, potentially, right?
Well, we have a texter checking in saying, are the Cubs the Kansas City Royals because they only won one World Series? Is that what you want? You want to tear down this team to the point where you turn into the Royals? I mean, look, making the playoffs is huge. It's a big deal. And when you get into the playoffs, I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Cubs are going to catch fire and make a lot of noise in the playoffs, because we haven't seen the pitching for that. We haven't seen the hitting for that. We haven't seen the defense for that. We know what the failings of the club are. Having said that, is there not an outside, you know, 1,000,000% chance that they could catch fire? They could do something? Yet when you have an opportunity.
You have seen it before.
This happens
every year. Now, if you get to the postseason for the fifth year in a row, are you supposed to consider this a bad year? Many Cubs fans would. And I think that's understandable given the expectation level that has been created around this organization. They've created it and set the standard high themselves. But if you just get into the wild card and you lose that one game playoff for the Washington Nationals.
And I get it. That happened last year, and you don't want to go through that again. And it was a horrible thing to see happen, to lose the 163rd game. And
but
then
you got in.
Lose again. But you did get in.
And I said yesterday when we talked about, look at the Dodgers. They're celebrating again, 7 division titles in a row. And I was bringing attention to the fact that their consistency was something that you wanted to model. And boy, couldn't the Cubs be like that. And quickly, all you guys were jumping on me like, oh, show me the ring. Show me the ring. They didn't win the ring. They haven't. But they're still a model of consistency. I mean, which is, are you supposed to be disappointed and frustrated if you're a Dodgers fan?
312-644-6767. Lottie is in Jefferson Park. Good morning, Lottie.
The season was over when the bullpen was no good at the very beginning of the season, because even if your hitters are hitting 9 runs and you're leading line to nothing, then the very thought in the players and the manager's mind that when you get to the 8th inning, somebody is going to blow the game. You guys had the statistics earlier in the show when you said that they blew 26 or 27 saves.
Mm-hmm.
What if they had just come through on half of those games? If we'd have been 13 games to the win, we wouldn't be where we are now. And I can't see any hope at this late in the season, other than Joe Maddon takes the entire bullpen and takes them to a hypnotist and tries to change the total culture of the team through having confidence in your bullpen.
Listen, if they thought that would work, they would say, watch the shiny object, and they would try it.
Of course they would.
They would sit him down and think, okay, well, let's try this because nothing else has worked. 26 blown saves, that's a ton. A second most in baseball, I believe. And that's a product of not having the right guys in the right situations. I don't know that it's always picking the wrong reliever if you're Joe Maddon.
They've also had guys in and out of the lineup, man. I mean, it's hard. Even you bring in Craig Kimbrell, and what do you get? You get a series of injuries and a guy that wasn't ready for a Major League Baseball season, unfortunately.
Brandon Morrow was supposed to be the closer. Where's he been, right? I mean, that's another – they came into the season with Pedro Strop as the closer. And right. That's a problem in and of itself right there.
That is a problem. So how do you look at this? Given all the injuries and given all of the things that we've dealt with or we've seen them deal with, should you be happy that the Cubs actually make the postseason? Is that a victory in itself? Or are you, like Dustin, relieved if they just end it, move on, and start the reclamation project?
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We're looking for your opinion on that. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Cubs have done absolutely nothing.
What a cutty place. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Cubs did nothing last night anyway. That's
three hits.
Sure.
You're not going to win many games getting three hits.
No, and of course now they have guaranteed that they're going to not win that series. Hopefully they will split. They've got the game today, this afternoon. They have Yu Darvish on the bump. Let's hope that gets handled, and then they come back and start winning. And yeah, again, the missed opportunity is you're playing a bad team, you're on the road, I get it. But you win those last two games, now all of a sudden the division leads down to two. Was that a missed opportunity? Oh, I would think so. Because
it is, without question.
Because the Cardinals are off.
That's
loose.
The way we're going to look at it. The way they have to look at it is that now opportunity's in front of them. The next seven games against a team with a losing record before they get the Cardinals, and you have to take advantage and win at least five of those games, maybe six out of seven, get on a little bit of a roll here, and then go into St. Louis, that series with a little momentum, and see what happens. Because anything still can, 17 games left, and you still are in a position to get to the postseason.
All right, we got a lot of people who want to check in. Let's get to all of them. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Kevin. Kevin's in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, morning, guys. No, I will never give up till the very last minute, and even if it means playing another play-in game to get in the play-in game against the Brewers, and there's another devastating 1-0 loss, sign me up for it, because the Brian LeHair years, I never want to go back to that, so I will, it's been very maddening this year, but I am desperate for you guys to ask Steele a question at 8 o'clock from the fans.
Mm-hmm.
This team, like the Bears knowing in the offseason they needed a tight end and a kicker, and we still don't know if we have either. The Cubs knew they had no left-handed stud out of the pen, which he did nothing about. They had no leadoff hitter, and they had no second baseman, and he didn't do anything about it. Can you please ask him from the fans, does he believe that you need a leadoff hitter to set the tone for your team, and will he please guarantee that they will not screw up Hayward again and ever put him back up there? Because that, I think, is the main issue with this team. They need a young stud pitcher, and they need a leadoff hitter, and he didn't do anything about it. So So you don't have to ask him that angrily, but please ask him that question. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kevin. You know, maybe they found one, right? Maybe Nico Horner can fill that role. You asked that question yesterday. Would you put him in at leadoff? Maybe eventually,
down
right?
Down the road, yeah. He's your Ben Zobrist replacement in terms of the guy who gives you those professional at-bats. Once he becomes more polished, he gives you speed. He's a contact hitter. He's a guy that would address that need that has existed since Dexter Fowler left town.
Then all you need is the lefty bullpen guy, and you're laughing. let's try James on the north side. Good morning, James.
Morning, James.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Morning to you, sir.
Listen, I got a problem here. When is Ryan Pace going to be held accountable for picking Trubisky over Mahomes and Watson? I mean, I'm getting tired of seeing this guy fumbling on the press conference. He's afraid to talk now. I mean, why isn't this guy getting blamed? You guys not talking about this stuff.
I think we've talked a lot about it. I disagree with you. I don't care if Mitch fumbles a news conference. I could care less. I don't care if he's afraid to talk. I don't care if they're telling him not to talk. None of that matters. What matters is how he plays on the field. And no one is going to do some postmortem with him if they win, right? No one's going to ask him a hard question if they win. So it just comes down to performing on the field. And if Mitch does that this weekend, it'll be a happy news conference next week, and they won't have to try to clam him up. But
every game is not going to be a referendum on the draft of 2017. It can't be that. No. We've held Ryan Pace accountable plenty. I think when you look at Mitch Trubisky yesterday at the press conference, that was regrettable, but performance will dictate how we view and the perception of Mitch Trubisky. Yesterday was just disappointing because it represented how they may feel like they have to coddle him to protect his confidence, which has been damaged.
See, that's, to me, the biggest issue is if they believe – you know, what you see from the guys you're talking about, what you saw from Mahomes, what you saw from Deshaun Watson, I thought both – you saw swag and confidence and bravado. You saw guys that know how they can play.
Maturity.
And we're waiting on that.
Yeah, and we're still waiting.
Let's try Greg. Greg's on the road. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. It's starting to remind me of the 85 Bears, you know, when they won that Super Bowl. We thought, well, we'll get a couple more in the next 5 years, and it never happened. But your first caller was talking about how you don't want to trade any pieces away. I don't think they need to blow the team up, but they need to shake the team up. And my best example is I think Baez and Bryant both come up for free agency after next season, right? Are you going to
Baez is 2 years?
It's 2021 for both of
them. They're both
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they got 2 years left, but you got to at least start thinking that way.
Yeah, you got to know.
Are you going to pay them both $30 million a year? And if you do, what kind of – do we have any aces coming up to our farm system, or are we going to be buying starting pitching? Because that's about the same time that Lester's gone. I mean, he's not what he was a few years ago anyway. But you have to start thinking of this.
You got to start thinking about it next year. You know, Cole Hamels is done, right? So you got a lot of money coming off the payroll. You'll have a lot of money to be able to spend, but – you know, it's you better get to that sort of thinking.
Thanks for the phone call. You're exactly right. You know, the blow it up is probably overstating it. Shaking it up, you have to make a decision at some point between, as we have talked about, Javi Baez and Chris Bryant, only because the contractual realities, are you going to be able to pay both? If you are, great, congratulations. Those are good investments. But if you think you're going to lose one of them, the idea is this offseason is when you would maximize what you would get in return. So you'd want to take advantage because you're at a crossroads as an organization.
Let's try Brandon. He's listening online in Raleigh. Good morning, Brandon.
Morning, Brandon.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Great. Good.
Hey, I got a question. I'm just curious. I'm a huge Joe Maddon fan. I'm from Tampa. I followed him with the Rays. I followed his career ever since I was a kid down there and loved when he came over to Chicago and what he did for the organization. But If we do, hypothetically, limp into the playoffs, second wild card, first wild card, what have you, but we win, and then we make it to the next round, and, you know, make a deep run and maybe even make the World Series and, you know, lose it. What do you think that the Cubs organization is going to do? I think
Joe's back. If Joe makes the World Series, yeah, I think Joe would be back. If they win the National League, you know, obviously if you win the World Series, there's not even a conversation.
If the Cubs win the pennant, there's a chance that he'll return.
Sure.
I just don't know that that's number one, a realistic possibility to consider right now as you sit here, because 17 games left in a season where they're really reeling and all the tea leaves kind of, if you're reading them, are that he's not going to be back. But I think that still you have to, there's a maybe a small possibility that he would come back, but I wouldn't call it, I would call it remote.
Yes. Yeah. I think, I mean, I would go so far as to say that the Joe's tenure is over and maybe he's playing right now. They're playing to get him rehired. But I mean, I don't see it. Do you?
I have a hard time seeing that.
I think those decisions were made a long time ago.
I have a hard time seeing that. But I think here, when you're in the midst of it right now, and we'll talk to Theo at 8 o'clock, there's no way that they want to ponder or consider or discuss the future. They're stuck right now, smack dab,
they're living
trying to get out
of
this rut.
That's right. They're trying to get to the playoffs. All right, let's get to a scoreboard update with our guy Kevbo. And don't forget, we got Dave Richard coming up next. And Dave will answer all of your fantasy football questions. 312-644-6767, or hit us up on the text line or Twitter or any of the glorious ways we have. Send us like a nice Instagram story about your fantasy team. I don't think we're on Instagram.
No, we're not. See? Not yet. We could be.
We should be.
We're on Facebook. Come on, aren't Kevin? We just haven't logged on in about 7 years.
No, Facebook took all of our information, so we stopped participating
right.
there. I lost by about 100 points in my first fantasy weekend matchup, so
nice.
I will be paying extra attention to Dave Richard today.
Does Dave have advice for the English Premier League?
No.
You have a fantasy football team, too. I thought you were talking about your
My fantasy Premier League is doing very well. My fantasy gridiron team, not so hot. I also drafted Antonio Brown, so...
Oh.
Well, that it's going to blow up this
one.
Week, right?
There's that whole thing.
Rich! Let's go fantasy. We cry. Hey. Rich! Let's go fantasy.
Mully and Hall. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is always a joy to welcome in our friend Dave Richard, Chicago guy made good, CBS Sports fantasy football expert. And he joins us as always on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Morning, Dave.
Morning, Mully. Morning, David. What the heck happened to the Bears?
Oh,
I've
boy.
Been waiting. I know you guys are done talking about it, but
no.
I'll tell you what was the most disappointing to me. It was all off season, all training camp. All we hear about is David Montgomery this and David Montgomery that. And what do we see in the backfield? More of Mike Davis than anything else. I was stunned by it. I thought for sure that the Bears were going to lean on David Montgomery a little bit more, and they maybe should have stuck with him a little bit more. He was making plays, at least through the passing game. His catch was outstanding, and he's the type of running back you need to give more than six carries to. They should have run the ball more against Green Bay. I was totally baffled by how the Bears operated in that game, and I know that anybody that started him or started Tariq Cohen in fantasy, they were mystified by Mike Davis being out there too. So really rough game all the way around for Bears fans and fantasy managers.
Join the club. I mean, the only guy that came through in a way that was meaningful was Allen Robinson. I mean, they targeted him almost too much because everybody knew that that was where the ball was going, Dave. But this week, when you look at the Bears against the Broncos, anybody there stand out? I mean, Montgomery, they think, will get the ball more often than he did, but I don't know that I trust that.
Exactly. You know, again, good coach speak about Montgomery is something that we've been used to at this point, but we got to see it play out. And I can't imagine Vic Fangio's defense won't be ready for this game. And there's been a pretty clear track record of defensive coaches leaving their team, joining a new team, and then playing their old team the immediate year after. Those teams usually win. And we've seen it with the Patriots guys leaving Foxborough, going to a different team. Matt Patricia beats the Patriots last year. Mike Vrabel beats the Patriots last year. And interestingly enough, the Dolphins have a former Patriots coach now leading their squad. But I don't think they're going to beat the Patriots. But I do think that Vic Fangio knows enough about this Bears offense that he's going to make it very, very tough on them. I'm not expecting a lot of points from the Bears. And you've got to react to what you saw last week from Montgomery. I think he's no better than a flex this week. You can find other running backs. I'll tell you one right off the bat. Devin Singletary, the rookie running back with Buffalo.
Yep.
Easy start ahead of David Montgomery this week.
What do you do if you have Antonio Brown? Belichick was very forthcoming, I thought, when asked about it yesterday. No, he never is forthcoming. He didn't say anything. But do you play him? Is he going to play? Do you think – you know, we talked to Mike Lombardi yesterday. He said that they got him basically to control the middle of the field, that he fills kind of the Gronk role. How do you handle that?
Well, first of all, I thought it was just forthcoming enough for Belichick to admit that they signed him. Because usually, you know, he said that and then the fact that they said he was going to practice, like the way that Belichick said it was like a 10-year-old who knows he's in trouble, and he goes, "Yes," like that's what I saw from Belichick. So he almost felt guilty admitting that he was going to let this guy who's been accused of something so heinous go out and practice. You know what? He's entitled to what we're all entitled to, which is, you know, innocent until proven guilty. And these are ugly charges, and I'm sure the Patriots would prefer to not have these charges hanging over his head. But if the NFL is going to let him play, and if he's going to continue to practice, then he's going to play. And it's a matchup against a Dolphins defense that couldn't have an answer for his rookie cousin, Marquise Goodwin, last week. So if you've got Antonio Brown, you want to play him in your fantasy team, as much as that might kind of make you wince to think about. But here's the trick. There's a lot of good receivers playing in the Thursday night game. You've got Mike Evans, who a lot of people are going to start, even though I don't really love the matchup for him. Chris Godwin, his teammate, and then a couple of receivers from the Panthers, DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. You almost have to go with them ahead of Antonio Brown, because what if Antonio Brown is put on the commissioner's exempt list? What if the Patriots don't even take him on the trip or they deactivate him for the game? There are a lot of variables in play here. So you really can't make a call that you'll feel comfortable with on Antonio Brown until you see on Sunday that he's active. You have to play it safe. You can't use him if it's a debate between him and one of the players in tonight's game.
Dave, were there one or two guys who surprised you or changed their fantasy profile based on what they did in week one?
You know, there were a bunch that definitely changed their fantasy profile. Austin Eckler, I think, definitely stands out. He was a machine for the Chargers against a pretty good Colts defense. We'll see what he's got up his sleeve this week against the Lions. I think it's going to be a tough matchup for the Chargers. But they're running out of guys to catch balls from Phillip Rivers, and this guy can do it. So Austin Eckler definitely sent his stock shooting up. I think everybody knew what to expect from Le'Veon Bell. I think they knew that he would continue to be a really good player, and that's why they went ahead and they leaned on him quite a bit. I'm a little curious about how people are going to react to Jamison Crowder's game. Just thinking of Le'Veon Bell's team and his teammate. Last week he had 17 targets. He had 14 catches. He had 99 yards. That's going to stand out to fantasy managers in PPR leagues. I think he's going to continue to see the ball a lot. I just think that role in the Adam Gase offense, that slot receiver role, they get a lot of work. I don't know if it's going to be double-digit targets and catches every single week, but I do think that he's got a role, and he's still out there in a halfway decent amount of fantasy leagues. If you're in a PPR format and he's on your waiver wire, you've got to grab him and put him on your bench.
All right, Dave, your public seeks you. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Don. Don's on the south side. Don, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, I got a wide receiver question. Wide receiver two, Tyler Lockett or Chris Godwin?
I'd go with Lockett. I know last week might have been a little disappointing because he only had two targets. He dropped one deep ball and he caught the other one for a touchdown. He just has so much huge playability. And the Steelers' defense has been rocked by injuries. Joe Hayden, big question mark if he plays. I know T.J. Watt's banged up as well. And Seattle's got a tough situation here going into Pittsburgh. It's never easy. They're going to have to throw in the game. I know that D.K. Metcalf got a lot of attention from Russell Wilson last week. Wilson only attempted 20 passes. I think he might attempt double that this week, and that would be a good thing for Lockett.
847 texter Dave, Baker Mayfield or Matt Stafford?
I'm going to go with Mayfield for now, but it's really close between those two. I thought Mayfield really there were spurts where he looked like the number one overall pick in the draft, and there were spurts like he didn't know what he was doing out there on the field. The Titans did a really good job of confusing him with their defensive coverage, and I think that the Jets, just like Vic Fangio against the Bears, the Jets have a defensive coordinator who was with the Browns last year. It's going to be a little difficult for Baker Mayfield to have a big game this week, but I'm still going to take him over Stafford at this point. Both of them are outside my top 12 at fantasy quarterback.
Let's try Novell. Novell is listening online. Novell, you're on with Dave Richard.
Good morning. I need two in a PPR. I need one running back and a flex. I need either Connor, Josh Jacobs, Terrell Williams, or Alshon Jeffries.
So your running back should be Connor, and I think that the Steelers go back to giving him more work. Last week, the game just got away from them. This week, I think the Steelers will be in control a little bit more. And I'm going to go with Tyrell Williams. And this is another player. You talked about guys whose fantasy stock changed. You saw the way that the Raiders operated on Monday. It was really fantastic. Now they're going into a game where they're going to have to put points on the board against the Chiefs. And Tyrell Williams, with Antonio Brown no longer there, he's their number one receiver, and he looked sensational. His stock went up a bunch. He's a number two fantasy receiver until further notice.
Brian and Crystal Lake, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey guys, how you doing? Hey, I got a question for a half-point PPR flex position. David Montgomery against the Broncos or T.J. Hockenson against the Chargers?
Oh, and another guy whose stock went sky high was T.J. Hockenson. You know, it's rare to see a team put in so many plays just for a rookie, especially a rookie tight end. But you go back and you watch the film, the Lions were scheming up Hockenson against Arizona last week. There was one play where they lined him up in the backfield. He breaks through between the tackles on his route, and then he cuts to the sideline, and it's a deep ball. It's an easy catch for T.J. Hockenson, and then Stafford had the wherewithal to know that when he threw a jump ball into the end zone late in the game, that Hockenson was the one he was aiming for, because Hockenson is like 6'6", and he's bigger than everybody else out there on the field, so he's got that Gronk-like element to his game. I'm glad the Lions realize that. I think they're going to continue to realize that. He's going to be a very difficult matchup for everybody that the Lions face moving forward, and he should absolutely be in fantasy lineups.
Dave, I don't know if there are any leagues out there that reward penalties, but Freddie Kitchens can call them up like no one else. What do you do with Cleveland? How do you handle it when you have different guys? I mean, that was an absolute showstopper with all those penalties.
Yeah, it was ugly. You definitely have to consider other options when it comes to quarterback. Maybe you drafted Mayfield with Dak Prescott, or Mayfield certainly with Lamar Jackson, both those guys ahead of him this week. And Phillip Rivers is another quarterback that you might have been able to find off waivers. But if you can't get them and you've got Baker Mayfield and your next best option is Josh Allen or Trubisky or something like that, you got to go with Mayfield. Odell, same thing. You know what his potential is. I was a little surprised with the good. Now, it was like solid efficiency from Nick Chubb. I wanted to see more from him. I was really miffed that they gave a different running back a short yardage touchdown opportunity instead of Chubb. You're going to ride with him, too. I'm still not sold on David Njoku and Jarvis Landry being big contributors in this offense. So if you want to get away from them in your lineup, you can.
Dave, several texts about LeSean McCoy and whether or not he has standalone value.
I think he does. I think both the Chiefs running backs do, especially this week against Oakland, because there will come a point in the game where the Chiefs will have a lead and they'll have to run the ball. And I'm not sure the Raiders' run defense is as good as they looked on Monday. So I think you're going to see LeSean McCoy continue to get a chance to be maybe the running downs guy in this offense. So first down, second down, as long as it's not an obvious passing situation, yeah, you might see Shady on the field a little bit more. But I think Damian Williams still has a big role as the passing downs guy, and he might even be the short yardage guy, too. He's a little bit thicker, a little bit stronger than LeSean McCoy. He might be able to cash in from short yardage. He did that last week. He had two opportunities to score from 1 yard out or 2 yards out, whatever it is, real close to the goal line, and he did get the job done on his second try.
Let's try Scott. He's on the road. Scott, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, guys. Running back, too. My dilemma is, do I stay with David Montgomery or do I go with LeSean McCoy?
So this is a perfect example. Until we see something from Montgomery that suggests, hey, I'm the lead guy in this Bears offense, don't worry, I'm going to get the ball 15 times a week, I'm going to pivot to McCoy. I think he's got the better opportunity, certainly has a better matchup this week at Oakland, to put up some good fantasy production.
Let's wrap up the phone calls with Tom from Oak Brook. You're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I got a running back, too. Duke Johnson or Latavius Murray? We could also mix him with Sean McCoy if we went there.
Yeah. I need to know if it's PPR, because in PPR, Duke is going to be your guy. If catches count, Duke Johnson's going to get enough work there to be the best one. If it's not PPR, I'd go with LeSean McCoy. I still believe. Listen, he played 20 snaps last week, and he had 10 carries. Those numbers are going to go up. I think you got to go with him.
Dave, how can people watch you?
Oh, man, today at 11 a.m., we are doing Stardom Sit'em for week two of the fantasy football slate live for an hour on CBS Sports HQ. It's the new live streaming service from CBS Sports, 24/7, 365. scores, news, and smart analysis. Just go to CBSSportsHQ.com at 11 a.m. Chicago time, and you'll be on your way to fantasy success in week two, baby.
Have a
Love
great
it.
Week, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
You got it, guys. Good luck in your leagues this
what
week.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
Good that stuff. Is our guy, Dave Richards, CBS Sports fantasy football expert and Chicago guy made good.
Yeah.
You got to love it. All right, we're going to take a quick moment, and we're going to bring in Ozzie Guillen, and we'll talk to Ozzie about all things going on. There's a lot of stuff to get to. I can't wait to ask him what's it like to come up and play shortstop in the major leagues in the middle of a pennant race. Oh, I don't think he did that. But he knows a little something about the position. Mullion on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.